Hi, this is Nathan Hubler, writer for Adventures in Odyssey. Welcome to the unofficial podcast. I'm here at work, and I really don't have anything else to do, so I'll be listening to the podcast all day instead
Nathan,
of...
Behind on draft 10 of the Return of Richard Maxwell 8-parter!
Yes, Mr. Younger.
And get me my bunny slippers!
Gotta go.
And Chris.
We're just getting ready for a time of boredom.
Excitement.
And consternation. Welcome to...
the unofficial
Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
First or second most talked about issue from this episode was...
the S sound like coolest thing ever.
Just a token of my depreciation.
That's going in my ciggy.
Oh, definitely.
Ah!
Do that stabbing scene again. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 31 of the unofficial Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Hey everyone!
Hey Sarah, we're back. It seems like we just did this.
Yeah, seems like only yesterday, if only. I mean, I really wish it was yesterday, because if I could have said that line, it would have really been true.
Yeah, would have.
Darn it!
Oh well. Okay, before we go any further with this review, I have to get this off my chest. This episode was Nathan Hubler on steroids.
I love that line. Can I copyright? Can I use that line, please?
Because absolutely.
That was so true. That's going in my ciggy.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's copyrighted, by the way, but I'll let you use it for free.
All right, thanks. Appreciate that one. Nathan Hubler on steroids. Wow.
Now, we do know that Marshall and Nathan... collaborated on this episode. We acknowledge that. So good job, Marshall. But Nathan's renowned for his references. So this one definitely had a lot more than any other one had before. That's for sure.
Yeah. Although this was like definitely good. Marshall did great on this too. I've been listening. Like I'm still going through listening to all the episodes that I have, and I'm just hitting some of Marshall's first stuff, and. It has, this is, like, going back to that, and that's a compliment. That was really good. I liked a lot of the old stuff. Not that I don't like the I'm digging myself into a hole. Okay, Marshall, you did a great job. What I'm trying to say is this was classic Odyssey.
Yes.
Okay, coolest thing ever. Eugene is Eugene again!
He is. He's Eugene, and I acknowledge that now, finally.
Yeah, it took you long enough. I tried telling you the entire time we're listening. I'm like, see? Look, he's calling her Miss Kendall. Or, oh, he corrected someone's grammar. Or, oh my gosh, he used the word... what did he use?
Proverbial.
Or something like that.
And hyperbole.
And he is like, all these like Eugenie-type words that he hasn't done in forever, and you wouldn't believe me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think one of the reasons why I didn't believe you is the fact that I was appealing to the progression in Eugene's character, because... I think one of the faults with Eugene is that when he first came to Odyssey, he was very robotic in his speech, and he was very uptight, I found. He wasn't very personable, but as he developed and grew in character, I found that he became a lot more personable, and people could relate to him better. So I think that's why he wasn't being his normal self, using his big words, his 12 and 13-letter words. But no, I agree. I definitely agree. He was back to vintage Eugene.
It was awesome. It was so neat to have Eugene back. And even, like, it was just, no words. No words. And then, okay, I gotta say this too. Paul Herlinger did an amazing job as Wit. And Nathan and Marshall did an amazing job writing him as Wit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this... reminded me so much of really old stuff, like when Hal Smith was still playing Mr. Whitaker. Even though you had the whole scene with Connie that was alluding back to Best Face Forward, where she's trying to get Wit's End perfect, and like in Best Face Forward, Wit didn't go along with it, and kind of it was like, Connie, you know, grow up. And in this episode, he went along with it. It was still classic Mr. Whitaker, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, no one can reiterate this enough. No one will ever replace Hal, but just to have Paul being in that, being just the wit that we know, the wit that we love, and it was funny with him going along with Connie, and her antics and getting wits and all.
Spruced up.
Yeah, spruced.
And I know on the message boards people have been asking about, you know, was this Tom? Was this not Tom? You know, was this somebody else? Was this, were these lines old lines? Were they new lines? Where'd they come from?
Are you asking me?
Would you like me to answer? Because I know the answer. You can answer. It doesn't matter.
Well, you posted like a question, so I thought that you might want to ask
go
me.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, that's a question, actually, to be honest, that I had myself. Well, I pretty much knew it was Walker. I didn't really have a question about that. It was more of whether these were lines lifted from a previous episode that I've never heard before, which is unlikely, or recorded in an unaired scene, like his discussion on the gutter. I thought, oh, maybe the gutters. I thought maybe, maybe this was a scene that never happened that they thought, oh, we can stick it right in here. But what makes more sense to me, and this is probably something which you're going to say, is that it was a scene that was recorded specifically for this show, but before he died. Am I close?
From what we know, and I could be wrong on this, but from what I understand, this was something that was recorded before Walker died. That's why his voice sounds a little bit off. I think he was ill when they recorded this. And that's still the explanation that makes sense in my mind anyway.
Right. From his opening line, "Morning, everybody," classic. And then Eugene took a little stab at his age as well. "A man of your experience," or whatever. They've done that before a bit, but Tom didn't get after Eugene as much as I thought he would.
Yeah, and then I loved though when Tom fell off the roof. He's like, "I'm all right. I'm all right."
Yeah.
It was just, this was classic all over the place.
Yeah.
There's only one person missing though.
Yeah. Ah, Bernard.
I was gonna say it interested me that this also was an allusion to an outside, I don't want to say media because it's not really media, but like last week was a playoff of This American Life. This week, the show was in, from my understanding, I don't know, I haven't had this confirmed by either Nathan or Marshall, but to me, this seemed an awful lot like a book entitled
The Inspector
General. And it's a Russian novel written in like the 1800s, I think, about this town where it's like kind of, gosh, I can't even explain it.
Well, basically,
I don't remember.
Well, okay, basically what happens, and I never read this book, but I looked up at Wikipedia, and of course Wikipedia is.
I saw the wishbone.
Basically, what happened was, this inspector comes to town, and everyone thinks or assumes he's someone who he's not, and so he basically takes advantage of being this person who they think he is, giving him royal treatment or whatever, and then just before they find out that he's not who he is, he leaves town.
Yeah, it was just some random guy visiting town, and they treated him like royalty, thinking he was the inspector, and they ended up treating the real inspector like not so well.
Right.
Because they didn't know it was him.
So they definitely got the first half of that story down with suspicious finds.
Right, but they didn't actually, I mean, we didn't even know who the real inspector was. They just randomly appeared at the very end.
Which I think was better, because I think the focus was more on how we should act in front of people, and the emphasis wasn't on the real inspector, and that was good.
Nope.
Something that was kind of disappointing, or not disappointing, but just interesting, was hearing Bart. This is probably going to be the most, second most talked about issue from this episode was Bart Rathbone, the new voice. What did you think?
I think he has potential. I really do. I think people are being a little bit too harsh. There were times where, if they used him a few more times, he would get it. I think he had the accent right for most of it. Yeah, he had a little bit of New York in there, but that's okay. And there were times, I think the voice is decent too. I think there were just a few times where he didn't quite have the character down. That was the only thing.
Right.
For me.
And you can't really fault the actor for things that he does or says, because that's really up to the writers for the most part. Because the new actor is not going to know what Bart is or who he is. So that's more up to the writers. But in saying that, I thought he was, for the most part, he was right on. I mean, he had, you know, cell phone free of charge with a $10 purchase, and getting the words mixed up like, just a token of my depreciation.
Yeah.
Things like that. I mean, that was classic Bart. And then even the way he met the inspector was like, "Oh, fine weather we've been having today." And speaking of which, are you the inspector? I mean, like, crazy things like that.
That's more the writers than it is the actor, Chris.
Right. No, but I'm saying, though, that that's an important part, because I think one of the faults with the new Katrina and people didn't like about that was that Katrina wasn't Katrina, in the same way that you said that Eugene wasn't Eugene, right?
Okay, gotcha. I understand now.
So I think it was important that not only the actor got it right, but that the writers got it right. And I think for the most part, they did.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. And I would agree with that. Oh, the only thing that irritated me was that Bart's accent was very, I don't know how to explain it.
Overdone,
it was,
maybe?
No, it was just really heavy on the S sound, like, I had a way to explain it before, and now I don't remember how I explained it, but it was like his S's were really thick and like spittily soundy.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. I mean, I don't follow along with the accents as much because I'm Canadian, and I don't know if that means we don't have a lot of accents here, because we do. But it's just the less pronounced, I think. So we don't have as many wide, diverse accents in the country as
I couldn't tell you where Bart's accent's supposed to be from, to be honest. I just recognize he just has a little bit of a more liquidy sounding.
No, but I think you would have a bit of more of an ear for it than I would. That's all.
Ah.
But anyhow.
What about? Oh, other thing I noticed too, is it just me or in the last two episodes has Edwin started to sound a lot more like Regis?
I would agree to some extent. I think he is using a bit of his, more of his lore register, and Edwin is usually more a little higher up there, and he's a bit more extreme in that sense. But when he gets to his more serious tone, then he definitely sounds more like Regis.
Mm-hmm.
I love the banter between Edwin and Bart.
Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious.
There's a hose out back of you, but don't put your mouth on it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but yeah.
Oh, and Pork Rinds reference.
Yep, Pork Rinds, and they even referenced back to the last episode where Edwin was doing all of the works of Shakespeare by himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no, that was good. I mean, we didn't get to hear all of it, but we definitely got a taste of what that would have sounded like. And then it was like when Bart said, "Do that stabbing scene again," I thought.
I missed that line.
That was hilarious. And then Edwin keeps getting upset at Bart. He's like, "Bart!"
Yes.
He just wants him to get out of there.
Uh-huh.
And then offering, it's interesting. There was a small, tiny reference to a class act there when he was giving the inspector Danny Boy the special treatment. Mm-hmm. There's at one point in when he brings him to the theater and he says, "I have a special seat for you, front and center." And actually, in a class act, he says a similar thing to Mr. Everett. Mr. Everett, who's Shannon's father. And he says, "I've reserved your seat front and center." Basically, in that episode, he was giving Mr. Ever and his daughter special treatment because mm-hmm. he knew that he was receiving donations from him. So he was like, okay.
Well, Edwin does that on a regular basis. He did it to Rosencrantz Guildenstern in My Fair Bernard.
That's true. Yep.
But that was middle sixth seat or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But something in the middle and something about the sixth.
I don't know if it was a direct reference to a class act, but I thought that was kind of a bit of a parallel. Okay, was it just me, or was there a reference to A Day in the Life from the very beginning? When Connie says, "Wow, Odyssey's going to be the best small town in America," and then Eugene says, "We haven't been even selected as a finalist yet," and then Connie replies, "This is an opportunity of a lifetime, Eugene, and I don't want to miss it." And I don't want to miss it. That was her tone of voice.
And I don't want to miss it.
And I don't want to miss it, yeah. And she says almost the exact same thing in A Day in the Life. When Hollywood comes to Odyssey, she says, "This could be a good opportunity for us, and I don't want to miss it."
Huh, I forgot about that.
So, again, I don't know if this is intentional or not, if it's just in Connie's character, but there's definitely something going on there.
Yeah, and I totally just remembered something else, and I just forgot it again. Oh, I want to randomly jump back to where they were trying to make Wits End look good.
Yeah.
And when they're like, "Hey, let's all stand here and greet the next person that comes in by saying their name."
Yeah.
That was great and amusing, and I have to say, if I was the second person and they all yelled my name, I would have screamed too.
Now, it's funny, went along with that suggestion, and as absurd as the idea was, as Eugene mentions, mm-hmm. There were three names that they shouted out: Will, Josh, and Bobby. I was actually kind of okay, a little disappointed that they didn't have, like, I don't know, Jimmy, Bobby, and Donna, you know, something like that, where they were significant to the characters.
Jimmy, Bobby, and who else? And Mike, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, where it would have been, like, a clear, obvious reference to past characters. That would have been the cherry on top.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Yeah. They went with no. Maybe, well, for all we know, they could be names of their kids. You know, who knows? But
and Nathan then, doesn't have kids.
Well, you know what I mean.
That, to my knowledge, anyway.
Other kids that we don't know of. Not Nathan's kids.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And speaking of kids, did Samuel, the guy who went for Sunday, I think, did he remind you at all of Charles Thompson?
Yes.
He had that tone to his voice.
Especially since I just listened to the Charles, I've been listening to Charles
like,
episodes.
That
lately.
Was Charles' long-lost twin brother or something. I mean, it sounded just like him.
Yep. It did indeed.
Now, there is one other thing that I caught that was a reference to another past episode, but I can't remember the episode. Was okay. When we found out that Dan was an inspector, we found out furthermore he was a health and safety inspector. Where have we heard that before?
That would be in, I think it's the Wrathbone of Contention, but I could be wrong. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the Wrathbone of Contention. Here, I'll look it up on HQ. Yep, it's the Wrathbone of Contention.
Once again, Bart was owned by the inspector.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the biggest reference ever.
They referenced Darkness Before Dawn!
As soon as the inspector started mentioning about structural damage underneath Wits End, I thought, no, no way, they're not going there. They're going there! Damage in the tunnels, yes!
Ah! Okay, I'm sorry, I must be overly paranoid, but as soon as they started talking about that, I was starting to, like, oh goodness, what if this is Glossman again? He's back. I mean, he was back in the previous episode. What if they're doing something with this to bring this back? Ah!
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they have enough time to expound on that again, and I really don't think they want to go there, to be honest. But it's going to be interesting, though. You know, is Wits End going to be closed again for the fourth time in a row? I was almost
It already is closed.
I was almost, okay, well...
It's condemned.
Yeah. Well, I was expecting him to say Wits End is closed, but that didn't happen, so...
Yeah, it's condemned. I tell you, it made Dan seem a lot more sinister.
That's for sure.
Guess we'll have to see in the upcoming episodes what this does.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what takes place and how it affects the best small town contest.
Competition.
Mm-hmm.
This was a great episode.
Yeah, if you could package together all your favorite moments from Odyssey's library of episodes, like this was the quintessential episode. So.
And I have a feeling it's only going to get better from here.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there's a reason why we only gave the last episode 3.5. I mean, it wasn't that bad. It was just episodes are going to get so much better. I mean, you're going to have to give an episode a 10 by the end of the season.
I know.
At a 10 out of 5. So maybe we should expand that. You know, maybe we should expand it to a out of a 10-star rating or 10-point system instead. But anyways, let's wrap this up and give it a rating. Final rating.
All right. I'm going to have to go with 4.5 or a 5. I can't decide. I want to say 5, but then I'm scared of what's going to happen next.
You know what? I'm just going to go out and say 5. I was actually thinking about saying 4 just for the fact that other episodes are going to be better. But if there are any other episodes that surpass this one, I'm just going to give it like a 6 or a 7. I'm not even going to care about the rating system anymore. It's going to be out the window. So
okay,
this episode
I like
receives
that.
A 5.
5. Nice work, guys.
Good job, Marshall, Nathan.
And actors, too, and everyone that worked on it. Awesome job.
Everyone, yes. John Campbell, once again.
Uh-huh.
So, before we wrap this one up, we have to give you guys...
Special word is what, Chris?
Inspector.
Yay!
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for listening.
Have a good week, everybody.
And we'll talk to you next time when we review A License to Deprive.
Boom, boom, boom.